You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Albany to Buffalo. Canal Side, come on down. Canal Side, history's coming to our town. So tell all your neighbors and gather all your pals. Let's commemorate the Erie Canal.
This summer, journey through 200 years on the Erie Canal with events and exhibits for all ages. Learn more at ErieCanalTurns200.com.
If you're thinking about parting with your unwanted gold jewelry...
Coverage of Bills Training Camp on WGR from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. It is a beautiful day outside. A little cold, but we're warming up. The sun is out. Zach Jones hanging with you here live from St. John Fisher for, I think we're in the double digit of practices. We're either practice 9 or practice 10. But coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is, of course, brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Yes, we are back at St. John Fisher. On Friday, the Bills had their much-loved return of the blue and red, return of the red and blue, however you want to say it, practice over at Highmark Stadium. Almost 40,000 fans were in attendance for that. Josh Allen coming out in the red helmet. Of course, they'll be playing in that iteration of the helmet in Week 18 against the Jets. I've been to that practice a few times. It's kind of where I've been actually able to go see the Bills at the stadium with me, of course, working a lot of the Bills games, and it's a blast every single time. I actually do miss going because it's so much fun. But today, they're back
at St. John Fisher. Practice at 11:15 today. We do expect to hear from Coach Sean McDermott at about 10:45 to talk to the media before practice. There were some injury notes from Friday, namely Khalil Shakir came up a little bit, had to work with training staff, eventually went into the locker room with said training staff, did not return, so hopefully we'll get a little bit of more word on him. Josh Allen did not participate too much, I think, at all in the practice, but we'll get going here in just a few hours. Happy for you to join me here again, Zach Jones, with you right here on WGR. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on, give your thoughts on Bills training camp, especially because at this point next week, we'll all be talking about the first preseason game against the New York Giants, the only preseason game at home for the Bills this year. We've got a lot of camp battles that I'm very excited for to get rolling, not just in camp, but into actual game situations. Yes, it is preseason. It's not going to be full go, obviously, but we will get a good bit going with these preseason games, and namely in positions that I'm fairly excited to see, you know, if what we're hearing in camp continues in both a positive or negative light. I know someone like Keon Coleman, who on Friday had a little bit of an up-and-down day. I saw early in the practice, had some really bad drops, easy drops, and that's something you don't really want to see a guy, namely like Keon Coleman, where that's never been an issue of his, and the big issue for him is consistency, and for that to pop up is a little alarming. But then he turns practice around, and I think it was like three or four straight plays where it's like he's the player of the day. That wrapped up, and that's who he was. That's what you want to see from a player like Keon Coleman. You want to see him be able to stack these good practices. It does feel like he's at least been able to continue that. And that is a great sign going forward, because for me with the wide receiver room, you can talk about how they really weren't able to add a big name, whether it be in the draft or a trade, free agency, what have you. There weren't many available outside of the draft. But someone like Keon is going to have to take on a much bigger role this year. How big that role actually is, how much the Bills actually want to pass the ball, we will find out. I think the Bills do want to pass the ball a little bit more. I'm not saying they want to throw 600 passes in a season, but I do think they want to get to around the 520 mark, because I think they didn't do that last year because they didn't have the personnel that they could trust. They still have to make the Amari Cooper trade around the Jets game. Without Khalil Shakir missing about a game and a half, Baltimore and then all of Houston, you saw where that passing attack went, and it kind of went into the gutter. Now I think they have much more options to be able to keep that passing game going. We'll see if Khalil Shakir's down, but with the addition of Elijah Moore, you have a guy who, while doesn't entirely play in the slot, he definitely can and can do a lot of work in the slot. Josh Palmer is someone that, as the offseason has kind of matured and we've gone further along here, he is someone I've really come to get excited about, mainly just because anyone involved in the Bills seems to get really excited about him. What his role will actually be on the Bills, we'll find out. I have no idea really what they want to do with him. We won't know until games start getting played. And I don't imagine he's going to play a lot of the preseason, because it's kind of the new thing in the NFL. I can't even really say new anymore. It's pretty just standard practice now that a lot of starters do not play a ton in the preseason. There really is no need to. A lot of teams see now practice as the best way to get ready preseason. It's for the fans. It's for it's for the team as a whole. It's for the backups, that kind of stuff. But Palmer is someone I'm very, very excited about. You look at his season 2 years ago, and he would have been one of the leading pass catchers for the Bills last year. 72 catches, around 700 yards, and then get three touchdowns. Not anything earth-shattering. But for me, where I look with the Bills' offense and where they kind of need to get, not better, but just you'd like to see that next step, is to not run into an issue they did last year where they were not efficient and they really were struggling early in the year with the lack of the passing game. And really, as a whole, they had to rely on Allen and, to a lesser extent, James Cook kind of willing the team to scoring 30 points per game. And that's where you see someone like a Josh Palmer he's brought in, 3-year contract. The hope is he is going to help keep that consistency going, that they don't fall into these ruts for a week or two where they just kind of can't get out of it. But Allen, being the MVP quarterback that he is going to elevate a lesser team to a better record. We'll see if that is going to have to be something that they're going to have to continue on. I don't think it will, though. The underlying numbers have loved Josh Palmer. His separation analytics are fantastic. And he fits a mold. I talked about this with Bulldog last week, that Palmer kind of fits the mold of a receiver that Josh Allen loves to throw to. Keon Coleman has been somewhat confusing to me a little bit in that light, that he's not really the receiver that Allen has come accustomed to throwing the ball to and has had a great success with. That was more of the iteration of his rookie year, when they had bigger, taller guys like Calvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes, where they were almost trying to make up for his quote-unquote lack of accuracy by having bigger targets, you know, bigger catch radiuses, what have you. Allen, though, we saw, was actually better with receivers like Isaiah McKenzie and Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs and John Brown, like speedsters that could get open quick, and he would hit them in stride. And then, you know, then after that, it was working on Yak and stuff like that. Palmer, I think, is that kind of receiver that Allen loves to throw the ball to. Does that mean I think he's going to have a 1,200-yard season? Probably not. I think the Bills do love the idea of spreading the ball around. I think the team itself, the players, like the idea of, on any given day, it could be a different guy's day. I think a lot of people love that on this team. You even see guys like Elijah Moore get brought in. He probably won't touch the statistics he had last year with a bad Cleveland team. I think he had 102 targets on like 61 catches. He would have been second on the team in terms of receivers in catches. He probably won't touch that this year. But they're going to win more than Cleveland, right? And he'll probably have a game or two where it's his turn to feast. And I think these guys really do appreciate that on any given day, it could be your day. That's not the greatest for us fans, right? We want to have that Stephon Diggs. We want to have the all-pro type players. We want to have those guys that in 20 years we're talking about their Hall of Fame inductions. That may not be the case with a lot of Bills on this team. I don't know how many guys on this group are on a Hall of Fame pace. Bulldog talked about that last week, and I've talked about that a lot too, of the talent level on the Bills being very good, but not having many great players. You know, I think I've called them like named players that, you know, you can ask the average fan in Nevada and they'll know who that Buffalo Bills player is, right? Like, we're attached to this team. We know the random guys, and we wish a lot of them would get more love. But ultimately, we're here where we're here. That's why I've really liked with Hard Knocks, which is going to be debuting on Tuesday over on HBO, and I'm very excited to get that going. I've been excited, though, and really, you know, kind of pumping up what at least I think is maybe the Bills marketing, or at least HBO's marketing, getting the stars on the cover, obviously, but a guy like Christian Benford, who you don't hear a lot. Well, there you go. He's front and center on the cover right below Allen, and you have his number and his name on the back. And I know just from hearing reports from practice these last 2 weeks, he's been dominant. You know, as much as we've all been talking about cornerback two, and then, of course, Max Harrison's injury and Trey White looking very good, Christian Benford, it sounds like, every single practice has been incredible. And so that's very, very exciting. I'm excited to see, or hopefully see, some of these players start to get more recognition. Deion Dawkins is an easy one, right? Like, he talks to everybody. I see him on the herd with Colin Coward all the time. He's created the Lineman of the Year Award. It'll be its inaugural year this year. Allen, of course, is Josh Allen. A great quarterback is going to be found. It doesn't matter. Him having a great personality is just a bonus. But outside of those two, who else is known on the Bills nationally? Not many people. And so I'd be very excited for that to happen. But at least at the receiver position, that's likely not going to happen, right? You know, Khalil Shakir might be considered like a really good underrated, you know, slot wide receiver. But he's not Amon-Ra St. Brown. Unless he has a pop-off year where he has 1,200, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 100 catches, I just don't see that happening. You know, I think ultimately what Khalil Shakir is going to be is, you hope, is Cole Beasley plus, right? He has that little bit more yak ability that Cole Beasley never had. And that's perfectly fine. That'll get it done. At his position, that will absolutely get it done. Cole Beasley was an all-pro player 1 year because of how good he was as a slot receiver. Now, since then, as I mentioned, guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown have come up. They've taken that role and run with it. But that's where I do see guys like Josh Palmer or Keon Coleman have to get a bigger role. but I just don't know where that role is going to be. I'm excited to see today what guys like Palmer and Coleman look like out there. I've heard good things about Coleman. It's been exciting. I feel like we're back in, 2018. Every single practice, there's kind of a takeaway, whether you like that or not. I sort of enjoy that feeling of back in 2018 with Josh Allen his rookie year. It felt like every practice, people were having takes. You were living and dying by each throw. Like, all right, how does Allen look? Was it not a great practice overall? But, he had two or three great throws. I'm sort of there with Keon now. I was a little bit last year, but now this year, after having seen him in his rookie year and having some bright moments and also some not-so-great moments, I've really enjoyed just kind of every single practice, seeing what he's going to be. Sometimes we overreact, and that's fine. But even on Friday, him going from two bad drops, what is he doing? This is comical. This is terrible. What's going on? To he has three or four straight plays where you're just like, he's the best guy out there right now. He's unstoppable. I wonder how much he's going to play in the preseason. I actually don't think he'd be somebody that would be a bad idea to have him play in the preseason, just to get more game reps going, just to get him for a feel of the game, that kind of stuff, especially because his game is going to be much more physical-based. He is not going to be that elite separator technician kind of guy. I mean, honestly, my favorite kind of receiver. But I think it was Albert Breer who was here last week, or it was somebody from the NFL Network. Apologies, I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now, but he would mention his takeaways from the practice he was at last week, and he had mentioned Marquise Colston of the New Orleans Saints back in the early years with Drew Brees when they won the Super Bowl. And he was a guy that when he came out of Hofstra, he was 6'5", 230. The feeling was he was going to be a tight end. He was a seventh-round pick. But Peyton just, he saw something in him. It worked right away. He was a 1,000-yard receiver his rookie year. He was never this elite speedster. He was never an elite separator. But he was bigger than everybody, and Brees was accurate enough to put the ball where he needed it. He put it to the catch point to where Colston was going to be. I see that kind of growing with Allen and Coleman, too. That's what I'm starting to see. You saw the highlight last week on social media. Allen's running to his left and just uncorks one, and he puts it right in the spot. The corner, I think it was Dane Jackson on Keon Coleman. He's on Coleman comfortably, but where the ball is, only Keon can go get it. That might be where you're going to get the most success from him, and that can be fine. That can be absolutely fine, especially when you add in Shakir and Palmer and Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel are more the elite separators. They're the quick hitters that you can go with. That allows you to have a fully rounded out passing game. Because you look around the rest of the NFL, and yes, as much as I do love the wide receiver position, and I love to scout it, and I always kind of hope the Bills take somebody in whatever round, it doesn't matter. I always want them to add to that position. It ultimately is actually not a position you want to pay a ton of money to. Look at the Bengals and where they're at. I think 17% of their cap is going to be between T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. That's not a winning formula. Look at Miami with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. That's not a winning formula. The rest of the team is an incredibly soft underbelly. And that's even with a team like Cincinnati, who do have a 17.5 sack guy in the last 2 years and one of the best pass rushers in Trey Hendrickson. They just are battling it out to pay him less. And even still, their defense is so thin. But they can be exciting. And I think that's always the struggle with teams like Cincinnati or Miami, is they have blimps where they are incredibly exciting. And you think, man, I want my team to be built like that. I want that so bad. You see Miami put up 70 points. You see a bunch of fans late in the season when Cincinnati's making their yearly run, when they start off terribly and have to come back. People get excited about that, right? They're putting up 35, 40 points per game. Joe Burrow can't miss. Chase is putting up 200-yard games. It's incredible. It's not a winning formula. Cincinnati has made the playoffs in 2 years. Miami hasn't won a playoff game under Mike McDaniel. So really, we're like the Bills are doing this, and Kansas City, and Green Bay are trying to just build out a wide receiver room that can kind of do everything. And the only thing is with Kansas City, Rashi Rice might actually be like a 1A guy. He might be a guy that can justify having 140 targets if he can play a whole season. 100 catches. Because then they also have Xavier Worthy, who's more the speed guy, and he'll stretch the field. And then you go over to Green Bay, and Green Bay's kind of got everybody. They've got the big play guys in Christian Watson. Jaden Reed is sort of a do-it-all guy. They draft a Matthew Golden, who is also going to kind of be like a do-everything guy. And then the Bills, as I mentioned. Like, you have Keon, who's going to be more that physical presence, is going to be more of a bully receiver. But then you do have Josh Palmer and Khalil Shakir, who kind of can do their own thing and get open quickly and be quick outlets. And I haven't even mentioned the tight end positions yet. I think that's how teams are building going forward, is to try to just not spend so much money on those positions. I'm not saying it's going to go, you know, sadly, the way of the running back, where it's just completely useless and you want a guy for one contract and that's it. It's not that. But it is just that there are more players at that position starting in a lineup, and you can build it out not demanding having a one. You can build out a receiver room having just a bunch of twos. Not everyone is going to be able to build with Philadelphia builds. And to be perfectly honest, like, Philadelphia is a tough barometer to place yourself at. They have gotten somewhat lucky. And even with everything they've built, they have years where they fluctuate aggressively with how good they are. But they also nailed it with signing Zach Bond, a one-year deal. He's an all-pro linebacker. And now they've signed him to a longer-term extension. They've always had a good offensive line. They get Saquon Barkley in there. He's a 2,000-yard rusher. Plus having A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. But they got really lucky in a few of those spots. I even bring up the A.J. Brown thing. There's simply no reason he was available. But he was, and they took advantage. There are different ways to build teams out, but I think a lot of the successful teams are doing it the way of the Chiefs and the Bills, where we are not going to pay an exorbitant amount of money to one wide receiver. We're going to spread it out. We're going to build more young on the defensive side of the ball and let our all-world quarterbacks kind of make do with what we have on offense, so we can spend more money on key positions like the offensive line and pass rushers and corners as well, with how teams are passing the ball. The Bills, the only thing now left is to make it to a Super Bowl and win it. I think they've done things the right way. They haven't done it perfectly, but I think they've done things the right way. They just need to win a Super Bowl to completely justify it. 803-0550, the number to call. We will hear from Matt Perino today, Syracuse.com, and the Shout Podcast coming up in just about a half hour. We'll also hear from our own Sal Capaccio, who's somewhere, he's wandering around somewhere here today. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking with the media at about 10:45 for an 11:15 practice. Thanks for joining me this morning. Zach Jones hanging with you here on a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. This is WGR. Sunday, live here at St. John Fisher University. Just a little bit longer here before practice gets underway, 11:15 a.m. Last time the Bills were on the practice field was actually back in Orchard Park for the return of the red and blue practice over at Highmark Stadium. And now to get more on that, and also today as well, we go to the Western Hotline, and also sitting right across from me, Sal Capaccio. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Yeah, you know, it's a different time to do this and have practice. Mm-hmm. Normally it's Jeremy and Joe on it. You know, 6 until 10, and then practice begins at 9:45. Today, a little different. Team practice on Friday in Buffalo. It's 11:15 a.m. today here. And as I'm sitting here, that sun is in a totally different spot. And I'm like, you know what? I sat right where the sun is in my eyes. It's not normally like this when I come over here to get on. I'm going to move over here a little
bit. Yeah, I picked the right spot. It is right on my back. I don't have sunglasses, and I'm like, oh, no issues, no worries.
Yeah, but anyway, it's good to be here, and good to be back. There you have, there's four practices left.
Okay.
This morning, tomorrow morning at 9:45, they're off on Tuesday Wednesday at 9:45 and Thursday at 9:45. We'll wrap it up.
All right. That's the thing too, Sal. Like training camp, it felt like maybe when we were younger a few years ago, it went longer. Now, at least here at St. John Fisher, it feels like it starts, the giddy up gets going, and then it's done.
Yeah, and I do think it is shorter than many years ago, but I think even over the last several years, it's become shorter here. I did the data. They pretty much have the same number of practices. I think it's the exact same number last year as this year, 11.
Mm-hmm.
Total, 11 practices, 10 open to the public. 11. It doesn't sound like a lot. It's a week and a half worth of practice because of a few days off. But, you know, that's good what they want. They want to get here and get acclimated to team building, camaraderie, and Sean McDermott believes in that. Brandon Bean believes mm-hmm. in that. And the Bills actually are one of the only teams left that's still – I think there's less than 10 teams that go away.
Yeah, that's growing. Yeah, it's growing. I completely understand it. I know there's a sentiment of Bills fans also that are like, you guys have all the state-of-the-art equipment at Orchard Park. Why come out here? But like you said, like the Bills believe in building that camaraderie with the team. You're all in the dorm rooms. They play Catan, the whole thing. It makes sense to me. I mean, the Cowboys don't even stay in the state of Texas. They go to Oxnard, California.
That's right. They've been doing that for a while. And I mean, you get teams, I think the Saints go to West Virginia every once in a while, maybe not every year, but they do that a little bit. Some teams move away, but one of the other things is the fans, the fan experience here. You go to if you do it back in Orchard Park, that's going to look a lot different. I don't know if there's the right way to do that yet. They'll figure that out if they ever want to go. But this is perfect for what they want for the fans and the fan environment.
The setup here is perfect. If you haven't been here, I mean, they've got vendors all over. I got here at around 7:30 in the morning and just kind of walking around and you're like, yeah, like it almost has like that kind of fair feel a little bit. Like they really do nail of like you want to come here both to, of course, see practice, but it is ultimately just practice. So we've got more stuff around here for you to do with a bunch of, you know, the kids coming and all that stuff. It's a blast. I always love coming out here.
Yeah, it's a great time. So, you know, today is day number whatever here. I mean, what's 8, 9, 10, 11. So today will be practice number 8, I guess,
okay,
out of 11.
Practice number 8. I didn't know if it was 9 or 10.
I think it's 8, and then because 9 would be closed to the public, and then 10 and 11, they have 11 total.
All right, perfect. Sal Cabaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, let's talk about Friday. I was not there. I was obviously working these last few years. The practice goes on at night. I work at nights. I used to go to that event a lot, though. I had a blast with it, and it's so much fun, the return of the red and blue. But it seemed like from all the reports, Keon Coleman, a little bit of a mixed day, but definitely ended on a positive.
Yeah, he started off on a down of the roller coaster, up and down day. I would say, you know, he early on, 7-on-7, comes back in a ball. Josh hits him kind of right in the hands and drops it. And he got his head turned around maybe a little bit too late, but should have caught. And then later, and that was really, Josh didn't do any 11-on-11, but that was Josh in on 7-on-7. And then later, I think it was Mitch Trubisky. I mean, he hit him with a really nice crosser, and Keon should have come down with it.
Yep.
And he went up, didn't come down with it. That's the inconsistencies that you have to eliminate if you're, excuse me, if you're Keon Coleman. So later he makes a heck of a catch, a couple deep balls, one of them right on Christian Benford, actually. He's going down the right sideline, perfectly placed ball. I think it was Mike White who threw this one, perfectly placed. Christian Benford in his hip pocket, but man, what a great ball, what a way to, good job by Keon to kind of shield him with the body and his shoulder to get it over the shoulder. And he made a couple plays like that,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of, you know, I don't know if it made up for it, but it showed you what he's capable of. He just has to have that consistency.
Yeah, and that's, I was saying that in the first segment. Like, that's sort of the big thing we're all watching with him. Is he, you know, he maybe is never going to be that technician, you know, getting open and stuff like that, but his thing is going to have to be physical receiver and consistency. And that's what you're waiting to see from him. It's been nice to see, though, for the most part, he's been stacking good practices. And it does seem like the rapport between him and Allen is really, really growing. But, I, you know, Sal, I was saying in the first segment, too, the Bills and a number of teams in the NFL, I think Green Bay and Kansas City are two of them as well, instead of having that one guy and then building it out from there, it seems like both, you know, these trio of teams and probably more are trying to build out all-around wide receiver corps, that everyone kind of has their job. We're not going to necessarily spend $40 million on this one guy or $30 million on this one guy, because for the most part, like, Keon almost doesn't make sense for how the Bills want to play receiver, how Josh Allen wants to throw to receivers. He usually has really done well with guys like Isaiah McKenzie, Cole Beasley, John Brown, Stephon Diggs, these quick, twitchy, get-open, fast guys. Keon is more back to the rookie year where we're going to have Kelvin Benjamin, Andre Holmes. But that's his role, and they want to have that guy that he's just going to be a matchup nightmare. His problem is, though, or not even necessarily his problem, but what he's going to have to nail is when the 50-50 balls come, it's got to be more 75-25 in your favor. You got to be there.
Yeah, that's right. And I like him on the 50-50 balls. It's mm-hmm. more of the ones that should be 90 for him, 10-90-10 right. that he doesn't come down with. He comes down, even in practice here, with a lot of those balls that are like, oh, that's between him and a guy, and he got it. Mm-hmm. It's more like, oh, there's nobody around him. Why didn't he come down with that?
Yeah.
That's the consistency. I was comparing him a little bit to Gabe Davis the other day like that, where Gabe would make a couple really big catches in a game, and then you're like, oh, man, how did he not make that play?
Right.
Right? And, you know, I mean, Gabe Davis was a nice wide receiver, but I think if you stack Gabe against Keon and said if each guy went to his potential, who's higher? I think it's Keon Coleman. He's got this great potential to be a really excellent wide receiver in this league, and I think that's what you want him to get to. Will he get there this year? I'm not sure. Bills fans would love it, but, man, the next step has got to be the consistency. So, look, I like the camp he's putting together now. Mm-hmm. Like, the first couple of days are a little uneven. I think he's been on an upward trajectory. It was an uneven day on Friday, but I think overall the last week has been very good for Keon.
Yeah, so he's definitely somebody I want to keep an eye on. Josh Palmer, of course, the other one. And honestly, with Palmer, I don't want to say I was overly excited when they signed him. I knew he was an interesting guy. I knew the separation statistics for him were great. Sal, for me, what's maybe most exciting about Josh Palmer is just how excited the Bills seem to be whenever they talk about him. Like, everyone around the Bills seems to be really energized by what they think Palmer can be. I don't ever think he's going to be a guy that's going to have, you know, all of a sudden 1,200 yards. And it's going to be, you know, Palmer wound up with the Bills. Actually, he's an all-pro receiver. I don't think that's the case. I think there, though, is a chance that he puts up a season like he did in 22 where he's got 72 catches, you know, 700, 800 yards. You know, maybe you get to like 6-7 touchdowns. And if they get that out of him and he allows you to be more efficient, I think that's where they become a more dangerous offense. I think it'd be hard for them to average more than 30 points a game. But if they can just be more efficient and they don't go through those lulls they went through last year with the passing game, I think Palmer could be that key guy to that.
Yeah, I mean, if it goes back to your original point about how you want to build the wide receiver group, I'll include the pass catchers. Dalton Kincaid's a part of this.
Yeah, of course.
James Cook and Ty Johnson are a part of this, right? What they do out of the backfield, and Ray Davis, all the running backs. I mean, if a Bills receiver has, you know, over 100 catches, I guess you'd be like, okay, well, that's the main guy. It's almost like, I'm not saying they don't want a guy to do that. It's almost like the goal is, no, we want everybody to kind of, everybody eats, right? You want 80 and 70 and 60 and all these guys. Yeah. I think Josh Palmer fits right into that. This is not a guy that you're going to be targeting 150 times, but this is a guy that, when you need a critical play at a third down, he might be able to give you something you didn't have last year. An ability to beat a man-to-man defense by his route running. That's where he wins. He wins by his route running. He's a lot like Stephon Diggs in that regard.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs won by route running. He was very, very good at winning off the line, winning in the mid-range area. And I think that's where Josh Palmer can really help this team. I think Dalton Kincaid's been having a couple of nice games. He had a real nice Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not with Josh at quarterback. Obviously, I just said Josh didn't play quarterback, but Dalton needs those. Dalton needs these kinds of days, too, and especially after missing a day with a knee injury, but he's been out there the last few days. So we'll get Sean McDermott at 10:45 over in the tent. We'll bring that live as much as we can here on this show. And then we'll also get an injury update as far as who's practicing and who's not today.
And so on the injury report, too, I know Khalil Shakir, he went down. I don't believe he ever returned from Friday, right? He went in the locker room with the training staff and stuff like that.
He did. He came off. It was early on. He came off. I saw him go right to the medical bench where they put him on there, and the athletic trainers were looking at his foot/ankle area, moving it around, pushing it around. And Josh Allen came over, talked to him for a little bit. Khalil got up, took off both of his shoes, cleats. He just had his socks on, and he walked on the turf all the way up to tunnel with trainers, a little bit of a limp. So that's the one to watch today, and then the other one would be Shaq Thompson, who also left.
Shakir is also one I think a lot of Bills fans would end up holding their breath a little bit for him because, well, when he went down last year, that's when the passing
game really
went to a gutter. I mean, he missed the second half of the Baltimore game. They were struggling most of that game, but they really, really struggled once he went down. And then the Houston game is maybe Allen's worst game since his rookie year, you know, statistically, and that's without Shakir. So he's somebody I think is massively important.
100% right. Yeah, he's super important to this team.
Yeah.
He's super important. He's the guy that allows everybody else to play their roles.
Yep.
Right? If you don't have Khalil Shakir, you almost have to fit guys into certain boxes. When you have Shakir, you can kind of play with other guys around. And I think that's really what he allows them to do.
And that's what the Bills want to do. I mean, you bring in a guy like Elijah Moore, too, and it's only a one-year deal, and I get it. I'm a little crazy about him. But he's had periods of his career where he's been in the slot, he's been in the outside. Yep. Keon Coleman, what was his big thing coming out of Florida State? It was, well, he can be a big slot. He can also be on the outside, and you're right. Shakir being in his designated role and being so good there allows them to be versatile. And, yeah, if he's gone, all of a sudden it's like, well, no, Elijah Moore, Curtis Samuel, like, you're the slot guys. Like, we've got to keep these guys on the outside. And it really does narrow what they're able to do. Sal, last thing, talking the defense, Christian Benford, he's someone I've mentioned. You know, in the first segment I brought up, and we've got Hard Knocks coming up this Tuesday, which should be a lot of fun. But the Bills don't have a lot of named guys. You know,
yeah.
You know, Dawkins is a wonderful personality. He's on, you know, Colin Coward's show. He's creating the Lineman of the Year award. Allen's the MVP, and the NFL will find great quarterbacks, even if they don't want to be found, right? Like, you're going to end up being a personality. Outside of that, that's kind of it. And I was really excited. I don't know if the Bills did it. I don't know if HBO did it. But to have Christian Benford smack dab in the middle, his number, his name. You know, I do wonder if this is maybe going to be the year for him where he really starts to get the accolades. I know a lot of people have brought up his Madden rating wasn't very good, ESPN's top 10 corners. He doesn't even get a single vote. I think Taron Johnson got like one vote. But he's a guy now, Sal. They don't necessarily have a ton of guys with maybe all-pro potential, but Benford's the guy I look at that, no, he might be the guy for that.
I think he's been amazing here. Mm-hmm. He really has. He's kind of stepped up his game to another level, and he's already really, really good.
Yeah.
The only thing holding Christian Benford back, and I use air quotes, is the recognition around the league.
100%.
But we know what he is in Buffalo. I also think he's the perfect fit for this defense. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not the perfect fit for every defense, but he's starting to show he could probably play in any defense and be just really good.
Yeah.
And I would say this. I was really impressed with how Bobby Babbage talked about how intelligent he is. Like, he's like, he is a super intelligent guy. Mm-hmm. And, like, a lot of times guys who are out there, it's just athletic ability.
Right.
Christian is a good athlete. He's not blow-you-away traits, right?
Yeah.
He, a lot of times, has to win because of his smarts, not just because of his ability. And I think that's where a lot of times those margins for him are what really do it. So Bobby Babbage talking about his intelligence the other day was really cool about how smart he is on top of what he's done. Tre'Davious White, I think, had a really good camp. And obviously we know Max Harrison's hurt for a while. We'll see where that goes. I would doubt he would be the starter week one. He mm-hmm. might not even play week one. But that looks like it's Tre'Davious White's job. And they have some depth behind them, right, with Dane Jackson and Jamarcus Ingram and Dorian Strong. And now over the next few days and weeks, those guys are going to have to show that they can handle that.
Yeah, and Dorian Strong, I know, is a guy a lot of Bills fans have started to hear more and more of, like, did Brandon Bean do it again? Is it another late-round corner that is just an NFL player?
Yep.
We'll see. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal, thanks so much for jumping on. I know you got to get ready for practice. And McDermott coming up in just about an hour.
Thank you got it. Thanks a lot, man.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a quick timeout here. Matt Perino coming up at 10 a.m., one of the hosts of the Shout Podcast, also over at Syracuse.com. Zach Jones hanging with you here on a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, We feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. Zach Jones hanging out with you here live from St. John Fisher University. I want to remind you that coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy outlet liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Do want to wish a happy birthday to former Bills head coach Marv Levy, who turns 100 today. Congratulations to him. I know Steve Tasker, one of our hosts of On Bills Live, and of course, former Buffalo Bill, went down to Canton, I think, to celebrate with him. Incredible, incredible. I've always loved old Marv Levy clips from the 90s. Of course, I wasn't around for the early 90s teams and stuff like that, but you know, his quotes have kind of, you know, they live in Buffalo Bills lore, the Churchill quotes and everything like that. So congratulations to him, 100 years old. We will be joined by Matt Perino of Syracuse.com and one of the hosts of the Shout Podcast coming up in just about 10 minutes. Should be a lot of fun. Practice coming up at 11:15 today. Did want to touch on real quick here today, because I don't know how much I'm going to be actually, you know, bringing it up, but the Micah Parsons stuff from Dallas. Jerry Jones again. They're always entertaining. They're always fun. I've mentioned it. I don't think either Parsons or McLaurin are going to get traded. Terry McLaurin from Washington. But I like to dream. I like to think we'll have some fun here, what have you. Even if it's not the Bills trading for one of these guys, I'd love for it to happen just because it's entertaining in the league. But I really enjoyed yesterday at camp Jerry Jones saying, you know, Cowboys fans shouldn't lose sleep over, you know, the Parsons drama. And the dichotomy and the split between fans of taking that as, all right, cool, the deal's going to get done, no problem, we're fine, moving on. And the other split from the exact same quote, take it as, he's gone. He's going to trade him in 15 minutes, like it's over. It's just, it's so interesting. I think Parsons is absolutely someone the Bills should go for, though. If he really is available, I think they should go for him. I meant to ask Sal, we ran out of time there, but I know him and Matt Bovee on the Always Game Day on Buffalo podcast kind of talked about the idea of, would you give up two firsts and Greg Rousseau to get Parsons? And for me personally, I would. You know, when this stuff was initially going down, I was kind of, you know, live on air, kind of going through it in my head of like, you know, would I do that? Would that be too much? What have you? But if you have the ability to get Micah Parsons, and all you have to give up is two firsts and a player, that ultimately, you know, Parsons would be taking a spot, great. Do it. For me, do it. And I have no issues doing that. Now, with that being said, I know many of you would say, well, I actually want to have Parsons and Rousseau on the same field. I want them rushing the passer together. Well, I mean, that's where you get into the Khalil Mack 2018 draft capital, where it's, you know, two firsts, a third, and a sixth. And then, of course, you know, you are going to have to pay Parsons an incredible amount of money. Like, for me with Rousseau, the idea of trading him is mainly to also free up some of the cap space. You know, you've already signed Rousseau to his big extension. You rework guys like Dawkins and Knox's contracts, and you can make that work. But the draft capital would be a lot. I will say, though, if Parsons did become available,
And that became legit, and we're starting to hear reports from the likes of like Diana Rossini and Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport that like, hey, this could go down. Here's the teams that are calling, and Dallas starting to take the phone calls. I think more than almost any of these rumored trades or free agent additions over the last few years that have come down, I think this would become the one that maybe is the most you have to get it done. They have been chasing this position for years. They got it right with Von Miller. The only problem was he got hurt, and he was already a little bit older. But you didn't have to trade anything. You gave him a big contract, but he was already older. And then he got hurt. With Parsons, you'd be getting him at 26 years old. You would get him probably for 8 good years. And I say that is in like he stays the path that he's on where he's getting double-digit sacks and he's leading the NFL in QB pressures from the edge. He would do worlds for this defense. And I said it, I think, last week that I thought if you were really able to get Micah Parsons, this defense could be the best in football. Because you add him, you have the interior pass rush. The secondary with Christian Benford talking with Sal, that he's looked incredible. That it could become the best defense in football. I don't know if either him or Terry McLaurin are actually available. We've seen players do this where this is much more of a negotiation tactic than anything else. 803-0550, the number two call. Coming up after a quick timeout, Matt Perino, one of the hosts of the Shout Podcast and Syracuse.com, will join the show. We'll get his thoughts on camp so far. I know he is somebody also that has talked with Bills general manager Brandon Bean. We'll pick his thoughts on that as well. Zach Jones here on a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. You're listening to WGR. Special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. Zach Jones hanging out with here live from St. John Fisher University. And a reminder, the coverage of Bills training camp is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy outlet liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealer for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Is your Upstate Honda dealer today. In just about 45 minutes, we are going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Hopefully, we'll get some injury updates, namely on guys like Khalil Shakir and Shaq Thompson. But before that, we go now to the Wester Hotline. And again, sitting right across from me, one of the hosts of the Shout Podcast and over on Syracuse.com, Matt Perino joining the show. Matt, how are we doing today, man?
I'm great. Refreshed. Just got off a plane from Orlando yesterday.
Look at you.
Took my son, who was turning 11, down to Universal for his first time down there. So it was a cool couple days. Not the perfect time to do it, but you only turn 11 once, as it says in the Harry Potter movies.
100%.
And so we got him down there, and he had the time of his life. So
fantastic.
It was awesome.
Last night, I was doing a Disney meeting with my family. There's 14 of us going. We're going to be taking a one-year-old, and she is making pterodactyl noises.
Okay.
And so I'm having cold flashes thinking about the plane ride down there.
Yeah.
So hopefully she'll be better, though, by the time she turns 11.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it'll definitely get better by then.
I hope it gets better, but right now I'm like, someone's going to get real upset on this plane. It won't be me because I'll be away, but someone's going to get upset.
People are really understanding. We had a baby that was really struggling on the flight yesterday, and as long as you're doing like a direct, like when people have like a really – like if you're on a five-hour flight to Phoenix or something and you start to hear that – all right, people start getting a little bit.
Right.
But if you got that timeline, I feel like you could settle in and just get through it.
That's right. That's right. That's where you're just like, I'll just stare ahead. I'll put the movie on. I got a book, something like that. That's what
exactly.
You need to do. But so I want to definitely bring you on today because I mentioned here before we took our last time out that you were able to sit down with Bills general manager Brandon Bean. And, of course, he hit the station. Like, we've had a fun offseason with him and stuff like that. But, you know, it's been about, like, the wide receiver position, really. And he – the reason why I'm starting to get excited about the free agent addition of Josh Palmer is almost because of how Brandon Bean talks about him and really the whole Bills organization talks about him. There seems to be a massive plan for him. I'm just really curious to see what it's going to be. His 2022 season, he had 72 catches, 700 yards. We all know what his separation statistics look like. I think most of us can kind of take away his one season with the Greg Roman offense. It was, in fact, he was in a Greg Roman offense. It's not totally on him. But I'm curious what he's going to bring. Because I think I know kind of what everyone else is. Palmer's the one outlier for me.
Right. And so for me, stepping back, you know, you mentioned like the off season and talking to Brandon about the exchange with Jeremy. Like, I understood both sides of that.
Yeah.
Like, I understood Jeremy saying, you know, do more at wide receiver, and Brandon saying, well, wait a second, I just don't think you have a clear understanding of what we think inside the building about this group. And so if you go back to last season, one of the things that Brandon Bean's done so well over the course of his career here in Buffalo, especially at receiver, is pivoting when things don't work right.
Right.
You know, so like early on, he had the big bodied receivers. They go to the Smurfs, if you remember, Cole Beasley, John Brown. You know, that was that first iteration. And then they decided, okay, the little guys are great, but we need somebody to really be the guy that Josh Allen can lead on. They trade for Stephon Diggs, and that works tremendously for multiple seasons. As that was reaching its peak, I think Brandon decided, okay, A, we got to move off this contract. B, we have an aging number one wide receiver, and that never ends well in the NFL. So they just started to kind of flip the script a little bit. The tough part about seeing the forest through the trees here is like what you think of Keon Coleman. And there's like a various number of different opinions on him. Inside the Bills building, they believe in Keon Coleman. They think he could be a number one wide receiver. And I don't think anybody's ever come out and said that. They don't want to put that kind of pressure. But that's the sense that I get. And I'll tell you, through 8 days, I missed the last two practices, he's looked like a number one wide receiver in this offense. And your question about Josh Palmer, when they traded for Amari Cooper last year, those three games before Keon got hurt, to me, it was more about Keon than it was Amari. And I think that's what Palmer's here to do.
Okay.
He's the route runner. He's the separator. You're probably going to have to put your best cornerback on him because you're going to be worried on the boundary about his ability to separate, his ability to win versus man and against zone. And so you're going to have to float attention over there. And then you're going to be in a bind if you don't have two really good corners. Where do you kind of put your best player? Because last year against Seattle, at the peak of Keon, they put Reek Woolen on Keon Coleman, and he dominated him.
He bullied him.
Exactly. And so I think that they have flavors. And, oh, by the way, don't forget about the slot god in Khalil Shakir, who, you know, we'll get an update on him shortly. He's one of the most underappreciated players at any position, pound for pound in the league. And that's where they start. And they believe in some of their supplementary players. I mean, Curtis Samuel, he just cannot stay healthy. Yeah. I think there's really a lot of excitement about Elijah Moore, and I think that's part of the reason they didn't do anything in the draft is because they knew the Moore conversations were starting. I don't think that they felt that there was anybody in that draft that was going to give them the immediate potential impact of an Elijah Moore, a former second-round pick, who has actually put up pretty decent numbers but has never played with an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
So now you have this collection of players, and then on the outside you have a guy like Tyrell Shavers, who they've developed over multiple seasons, who they really are high on, but they just can't ever find a place for him. If they had to give him some type of role, or if he ends up ascending at some point, I don't think that they're scared of that.
Yeah, Shavers is a guy. I know I've talked with Sal about this, and I think Sal's outright said it too. He's an NFL receiver. There's just too many bodies.
Yeah.
They can't find a spot for him. I'm part of the Elijah Moore cult. I don't really care who any – like, I've been there since his Ole Miss days, and I feel good about it. I also do wonder, just because of how they want to play offense, you know, it's probably not going to look like last season for him, where he's got 61 catches, over 100 targets. You brought up that point, though. Like, they've got, like, the different flavors and stuff like that, and that's I feel like, what I've seen from this, too, is, like, Coleman is almost in an homage to those early years with Andre Holmes and Kelvin Benjamin, like the big guy. And for me, it's consistency for him. But, you know, I wasn't at the practice, but I'm seeing all the reports and all the tweets. Coleman has two easy drops and then turns into the best player on the field. Right. And I'm like, all right, I brought up the Seattle game a lot. And you're right to bring up, you know, when Amari Cooper got there, like Keon maybe was the one that took advantage the most. That Seattle game, that was the first time I walked away going, oh, they may have nailed this. He is just bullying a very lanky, very athletic Seattle secondary. He's blocking guys in the bleachers and stuff. He was amazing that game. And then he gets the wrist injury.
Right.
And it kind of all goes away from there. And really the times we've heard in the offseason when the Bills talked about Keon, it was how he did not handle the injury well. He did not handle the recovery well. But I think that's sort of where a lot of teams are starting to go now. You brought up the aging receiver too. Washington's having this problem. You know, they're getting Terry McLaurin turning 30. He wants $33+ million a year, and they're going, history tells us that's not a good idea.
Right.
You know, Tyreek Hill's the only guy 30+ that's making $30 million a year. I look around the wide receiver room, Matt, and I feel so much better than I did last year. Mm-hmm. You know, at this time last year, it was a lot of, I believed in Khalil Shakir, but I didn't know really what he'd be. Keon, he was not my pick for a guy that I would want them to take. I was an Adonai Mitchell guy. I was not a Xavier Worthy guy. I want that out there. But there were issues. And the moment Khalil Shakir went down, there were clear issues. You know, right. The second half Baltimore and then Houston. But once they got Amari Cooper in, they were able to get it going. And I think you're right. Like, that's sort of where they've set themselves up now of, like, from then on, here we go. Now it just becomes, is a guy like Dalton Kincaid going to take that next step forward? Are they going to be able to get a guy that on a key third down, they can make that play? Because that to me has been the one miss for them, is that they can't, the last 2 years, they haven't been able to make the big play on offense, even when they've had the ball at the end of the game.
You know, it's interesting. Like, we could talk about the players in that department, but I think one of the things that we also have to bake into the evaluation or the projection is Joe Brady's evolution as a play caller. Like, when he took over Ken Dorsey, Brian Daboll's offense, he had to kind of, you know, figure out what it was going to be at the end of that season. And then by the time he finished that first season, they said, oh, by the way, we're taking Stephon Diggs and we're trading him.
Yeah.
Now you got to reimagine this entire thing.
And fun.
And they were second in the league in scoring, right? And they were really, really good. But I also think that, I don't want to say it like this because it sounds like a knock, but, like, I think sometimes when things are going well, you could play it safe. Like, maybe you don't have to be as creative. You don't have to move guys around as much because the roles that they're playing, they're really good at those roles, and it makes sense. Keon Coleman in the slot has been the big conversation since he was coming out of Florida State, right? Problem is, how do you get him in the slot when you have Khalil Shakir, who's so good there? But it's on Brady to figure out, okay, maybe we move some of these pieces around a little bit. Shakir, the versatility was what people talked about him coming out of Boise State. He can play on the outside. He can play in the slot. You can do multiple things with all these guys. And then when it comes to Kincaid, it's about staying on the field. When he's on the field, I think he'll find a way, and healthy, he'll find a way to make plays. And you have Josh Allen, who is determined to, like, not only prove that chemistry, but to continue to let it simmer and let it build and let it cook. And, like, I think over the course of the season, if Kincaid can hold up his end and stay on the field, I don't think Allen's going to allow that relationship not to flourish.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think I'm still super high on Kincaid this year. Like, I go on radio shows, and they always tell me, who's the guy that you'd invest in? And I'm high on Keon. I think he's had a great camp. But I still go back to Kincaid because if he hits, it's going to be a monster hit. We're talking about, like, top three tight end type of production because there's those opportunities in this offense. And I think he's good enough of a player when healthy to take advantage of it.
Kincaid is so fascinating. Him and Keon both, because they were high draft picks. Keon, you know, right away in the second round. Kincaid was a first round pick. But if either one of them hit, like, if this is their breakout year, you know, think nationally. Like you mentioned, like, you're going on national fantasy shows. How different does the feel on this offense become if one of those guys all of a sudden is like, yeah, Keon's going to be a double-digit touchdown guy, or Kincaid is, like you mentioned, top three tight end production? How quickly does it change? I mentioned this last week when the Terry McLaurin trade news came in. I don't think he'll be traded. I think this is a negotiation tactic for both him and Parsons. But with McLaurin, it was like, yeah, but think if he was on the Bills, just for like 5 minutes, just think if he was on the Bills, how radically it becomes different how people will talk about the Bills' offense because, well, they've got Terry. Oh, and this Khalil Shakir guy, you know, is a great slot receiver. Like, everything all of a sudden morphs into a different conversation. And so I think you're right. Like, if one of Kincaid or Coleman can break out, it's just they probably won't average more than, like, 32 points a game or 30 points.
Right.
But for me, it's just becoming more efficient, not going into those lulls, not having to have, you know, the 48-point shootout with L.A. and stuff like that because they'll just be more efficient. On the other side of the ball, though, defense. This, to me, is maybe the most fascinating unit because I could just see wanting to watch guys on every side of the defense, on all levels. But to me, I think maybe the most important new guy they brought in is not a free agent, but it's T.J. Sanders out of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, Ed Oliver has 9.5 sacks. Some of the most sacks you're going to get out of a defensive tackle. I mean, Zach Allen gets a big contract extension from Denver. He didn't even touch that number. He had more tackles for loss, I think. But, you know, Ed, it felt like 2 years ago, arrived. And then last year it was a real disappointing year. He's dealt with some injuries next to him with guys like Daquan Jones and what have you. But from what I've heard, like, him and T.J. Sanders have looked so good. And if they can get one of those defensive players, one of those new defensive linemen going, you have a guy in Greg Rousseau who, for all intents and purposes, had a career year last year.
Right.
Outside of sacks, it was a career high in almost everything. You've got a guy like Christian Benford on the outside who's been great. Trey White looks awesome at CB2. The linebacker room, with Terrell Bernard, he missed some games last year. Matt Milano looks healthy and looks somewhat back to form. I think if they can get any pass rushing, Matt, they feel like a team that is going to the Super Bowl. They just do, because that's been their one issue. I know Warren Sharp had a tweet going out about the postseason, you know, numbers. They're giving up 10 more points to Kansas City than anybody else in the playoffs. If they could just get him down like twice a game,
right,
they win those games.
I'm also a big believer in, like, the lost battles help you in eventually trying to win the war.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, I'm a big NBA guy. Like, growing up, like, I watched those Dirk Nowitzki Mavs teams, or, like, even the Warriors early on, yeah, like, lose really important playoff series against, like, just the dominant teams. And
Jordan
I think
and the Pistons.
Jordan and the Pistons. I mean, go back to the golden age. And I just think that, like, all of this has been building to something. I think the Bills, there was an enlightenment this offseason in the way that they attacked the defensive line. Like, when you're adding six new bodies,
yeah,
and all of them are different styles of player, right? Like, for the TJ Sanders, you have the veteran version of that in Larry Ogunjobi. So you've basically thrown two darts at the board at the same rate of speed,
right,
and you're hoping one of them gets close to the bullseye. And then, oh, by the way, you got Daquan Jones. You're kind of morphing Dwayne Carter into more of a one technique, and maybe that's where he probably fits better. And you have this mammoth Deion Walker that's just waiting in the wings. If he can be any type of contributor from the jump, he is something that they just haven't had. And, like, he's like the perfect modern hybrid at that position, mm-hmm, because the Bills have not drafted a big guy like that because they don't want to be pigeonholed into one style of play on their interior. Like, where you go out there, you take on double teams, and that's all that you're able to do. Look at Daquan Jones at his height when he came over and how good,
yeah,
he was. Like,
yeah,
he was good. His penetration rate, those numbers before the injury two seasons ago, he was like a top five rushing one tech in the league, maybe even defensive tackle in the league.
Yeah, him and Ed together.
It was
unbelievable.
They made sweet music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're hoping that with all of these new additions, Michael Hoyt, I can't remember. I would love to give them credit, but I didn't think about this. He's almost like the modern version of Lorenzo Alexander in this defense because of the chess piece that he can be and what he was with the Rams. You can line him up on the edge. You can put his hand down. You could stand up. You could drop him into coverage. You could do all of these interesting things schematically with Hoyt. And then you got Bosa, who is this really fun edge rushing presence, and then Landon Jackson, who is the traits guy, right?
Yeah.
The measurables guy that they're just going to throw into the mix and say, hey, if you earn it, great. If you need a little bit of a redshirt year, that's fine too. But they have all of these different players, and they still got some guys, Javon Solomon, AJ Epinesa, who Solomon's very young. Epinesa never really has hit that ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But if he ever does, and what that could mean around Greg Rousseau and Ed Oliver, who are kind of your franchise players, this line could be really special. We talked about Keon Coleman maybe being the offensive MVP of camp. Maybe we did, or maybe I heard that on a podcast driving up here. Either way, we could say it.
Yeah.
Matt Milano has been the defensive MVP of camp.
And everything I see about him, yeah.
If he's Matt Milano, even like 80% of all pro Matt Milano in this defense, now all of a sudden you're talking about what this unit could be once again. That's a really important piece that they've been missing. Dorian Williams has been really good. He flies around, mm-hmm, but he's raw. He's a raw player, still figuring out the position. Matt Milano, at his peak 5 years in, was just such a weapon as a blitzer in coverage. Like, we saw a couple of interceptions in camp that, like, took me back to,
yeah,
2020 and 2021 when he was a real leader for this defense. So I agree with you. I think there's a lot of really important pieces. You've almost been given a gift of not having to rush Maxwell Hairston because of the injury, and you avoided the horrible outcome that, mm-hmm, should that have been a season ender. And now you can see what this looks like with Trey White, and you can almost set it up where if there's a struggle, if there's an injury, now you can kind of let Max take a step back and then throw him out full speed ahead if you need him at some point early in the season.
That's the thing with Max Hairston, too. I mean, you're right, because, I mean, at least for me, I don't know if that was anybody or that was everybody, but for that 24 hours, it kind of felt like, oh no.
Right.
They're going to have another guy that is not able to contribute. Not his fault. This would be an injury, but it's another early pick they're just not getting that immediate returns from. And now you start to wonder, especially if it would be a torn ACL, long term, he's a traits guy.
Right.
You know, he's coming in with that elite speed, and it's just, you know, your heart drops for him. Then it's like, okay, he's got to be out for a few weeks, but we're good. I do wonder, though, because my thought immediately went to, once it was like, okay, good, Cole Bishop missed 3 weeks last year,
right,
in training camp with a shoulder issue, and he kind of never caught up. He started week four, but like infamously gave up like the first deep ball over the top in like 4 years for the Bills, and that didn't go over well for him. But then he eventually, by the end of the year, he's starting the AFC Championship game. I think his snap count in like 3 of the last 5 games is 100%. Like, he eventually got in there, but it took some time. Hairston, though, to your point, like, maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Maybe, you know, they can take their time with him. I do wonder, though, if this is going to be something that hurts him. I thought initially, great, let Trey win, and then just kind of quietly Hairston by like week, you know, 7 to 10, kind of just overtakes him, and, and he's CB2. But I do wonder how much this is going to hurt his development, because, you know, it is a knee injury, ultimately.
It may hurt, but, like, to me, what it comes down to is the great injustice to Kyer Elam, looking back, if we're being honest, is probably never having a consistent enough pass rush to where you felt comfortable putting him out there.
Yeah.
So if everything we talked about a segment ago, or earlier in the interview takes place, now you're throwing a Maxwell Hairston in with a front that is really, truly one of the top 5 to 10 fronts in the league. Mm-hmm. That's what your hope, right? That's like the ceiling of what this potentially can be. Now you're not as worried about things on the back end as he kind of goes through his growing pains, because you're going to cure a lot of those ills with how much you're affecting the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I think, to me, that's the great mission of this defense, is taking some of the pressure off of their zone-heavy scheme in the way that they play. Like, if you go back to Carolina and Sean's Super Bowl year there, and Brandon, you know, I don't think people talk about Kawan Short enough and how much of an absolute force he was from a pressure perspective. Like, they need Oliver to be that. They need, I mean, Mario Addison was really good in that time period as well, but they had a couple of guys that were consistently good, and then Shaq Thompson, he had come in, and then Luke Kuechly.
Of course,
who was, like, just obviously putting all that together. That's a lot to put on Terrell Bernard. I don't know if we're going to put Luke Kuechly on Terrell Bernard.
Figure it out, bud.
There's a lot of other pieces in this defense now that I think you at least have a chance to be what you tried to be back then, what you've been building toward. And I think it's a really good outcome, and I think that as you know, you get down the depth chart and Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, there's got Dorian Strong, who's going to get a lot of – Dorian Strong's an interesting one. I've seen a lot of hype around him during camp, and I might be one of the outliers where I just haven't seen it consistently.
Okay.
And a play here or there, for sure, but, like, I'm also taking into account who he's going up against, right? He's going up against guys that are not going to be in the NFL in a month. And so you have to take that into the evaluation. And when he has gone against first-team guys, Keon Coleman's cooked him a couple times, and there's been a couple of other battles he's lost. He's a young player. He's a sixth-round pick. I expect that. But now we're going to really see today. I've not seen any Bills players out here warming up yet. I'm not sure if they're going to be in pads today. I'd imagine they will be. And tomorrow's a closed practice, so they usually come back in pads and then go shells tomorrow.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get a really good look at Dorian Strong today, maybe getting some more snaps against some of the Bills' top receivers.
He's someone I'm curious about. My normal co-host, Derek Kramer, he was big on him really the moment they drafted him, because that sort of became a Brandon Bean special of, I'm going to go draft a corner later, pick up a guy in undrafted free agency. And the moment we turned up to camp, it's like, oh, he looks like a pro player. Like, he may not be a great guy, but he's going to be good. Dane Jackson, Levi Wallace, you know, Christian Benford.
Right.
Like, they seem to be able to do it. I think that's where a lot of the hype comes from, is, you know, did they do it again? We'll see. I mean, it is still early for him. But, yeah, like, you're right. You also have to look at who he's going up against for the negatives and the positives.
Right.
Now, Matt, last thing for me here, because I know you got to get ready, too, because McDermott's coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. I did want to get your thoughts on the Micah Parsons, you know, trade stuff. I mentioned, I think earlier in this, I think that's all negotiation tactics from both him and McLaurin, and, you know, to each of their own, you know, do what you got to do, get your money. But, you know, early in the offseason, Myles Garrett is on, you know, media row at the Super Bowl telling everybody and anybody, I'm out of Cleveland, I'm gone, I'm done.
Right.
And he gets his deal, and, well, you know, guys, I wanted my money, of course, obviously. But I do look at a player like Parsons, and it doesn't happen often, but it does happen that an elite pass rusher in the prime of their career is traded. Khalil Mack in 2018. It took 2 firsts, a third, and a sixth.
Right.
And I think Vegas also had to give up like a second-round pick or something like that. I look at a player like that with Parsons, never not having double-digit sacks. We've talked about the depth they have on the defense and in every area. If they could somehow land a guy like that, it's hard for me to not think this is the best defense in football. With all the additions they've already made, with already the guys that are there, I just, if he really did become available, I know we've all loved like the wide receivers and stuff like that. I would almost be embarrassed with what I'd be willing to offer. It took me a little while to get there, but now I'm fully there now.
if I could have that Bean interview back a couple or a week ago, I would. One of the questions I would have asked him was, do you get to the point in being so consistently good that these late first round picks become more disposable to you?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is where I'm at. Like, so I'm conflicted on Parsons in particular because I'm not a huge fan of some of the off-the-field stuff.
Okay,
right?
Podcast.
The podcast, you know, throwing the coach under the bus on the podcast.
Yep.
Like, there's things that don't make him like a Bills DNA guy
mm-hmm.
to me. Just somebody who's around the team knowing what they value. But there comes a point where a player is so good that you wonder if you can't onboard that and figure it out,
right?
So I think where I've landed on Parsons is if it's truly any chance to get it done, there's not a price I wouldn't pay.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of what it could potentially mean. The Bills can draft every year, and there's a chance they can find a diamond in the rough and they can find an elite pass rusher via the draft. And who knows? Maybe Greg Rousseau gets this contract and he takes this huge step and he becomes a 15-sack guy and this conversation looks funny mm-hmm. like 6 months from now. But until that point, I think going out and getting a game-wrecking top five pass rusher, to me, you can't – the cost will always be worth it because of what it can mean in now these very, very vital prime years of Josh Allen. And to give that kind of – presence on the other side of the ball for this organization to me would be something that I would do it. I just don't think Dallas will pull the trigger. I think Jerry will sit on this and make this a media circus forever until he would give up and admit that like his negotiating tactics backfired and he has to start over again.
Yeah. I think you're right on the media thing. Remember, they have a documentary coming out August 19th on Netflix.
Mm.
So he's going to keep this in the media as long as humanly possible.
Indeed.
Matt, thanks so much for jumping on with me. Before you go, do you and Ryan got anything coming up on the Shout Podcast? What's going on?
Yeah, so we got we're live daily after practices. You could watch and listen on all the platforms: YouTube, Spotify, Apple. August 7th, this Thursday, last day of camp. We're going to be at Dorado. Wingnuts is coming out from Buffalo.
Nice.
We're going to do a big party. It's going to be great. We'll do our final practice Shout episode live from the restaurant. So it's going to be really cool.
There you go. Matt Parrino there on the Western Hotline. We're going to take a quick time out here. Bills head coach Sean McDermott coming up in just about 20 minutes here, 10:45 a.m. We'll play that for you live here. You're listening to a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jack Jones taking with you here on a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday, coming at you live from the Bills training camp at St. John Fisher University. And that coverage is brought to you by Fugo Car and Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We just wrapped up talking with Matt Parrino, one of the hosts of the Shout podcast and writing over at Syracuse.com. A lot of fun talking about the Bills' defense and just how much they've added to that unit and what they can be this year. I think even without, you know, having to go into the potential of a Micah Parsons trade, I mentioned it there and I've said it a few times. I think if they ultimately were able to pull that off, if he really was available, that could change the face of this organization. How good that defense could be, you know, adding a player that, like you've seen with Kansas City with Chris Jones, like you would add that kind of player onto the Bills, like just that hellraiser, game breaker, and then you would add him with the likes of Ed Oliver and Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano and Christian Benford. Like, what could that mean for the defense? We know all of that. But it's exciting to see, like, what else they've added here. And I've mentioned, too, I think maybe their biggest rookie addition, and who I think is maybe going to play the biggest role on the team this year, is TJ Sanders. Because, you know, Matt mentioned there, when you had Daquan Jones healthy without Oliver 2 years ago, Oliver's got 9.5 sacks from the defensive tackle position. He looked to be one of the ascending players in the NFL. He had seemed like he had gotten it. And it's coming off a few years of inconsistencies and such. But then last year kind of reared its ugly head. And, you know, to start the year was more, okay, well, they're doubling him up. You know, other guys got to get home, what have you. But the season just never materialized into anything for him, anything, you know, worth writing home about. If they really do have more of an interior pass rush, if guys like Joey Bosa and, you know, when they come back, Hoyt Ogunjobi after week 6, if they can really open up more avenues for guys like Ed and Greg to eat, that would be huge. I think it could start as early as week 1, though, with TJ Sanders. They traded up hugely to go get him out of South Carolina, and he was one of the last defensive tackles in the draft that had both the pass rush and the run-stuffing acumen. And so now you see everything they've added. Are they going to be a top three unit, you know, pass rushing-wise? I don't think so. You know, it would take a guy like Greg Rousseau really discovering, you know, even more to his game. And he had a bit of a career year last year, really outside of sacks. He just topped his career high there. But if he were able to, and Ed Oliver was able to get back to what he was, it's just, you know, I mentioned in the first hour, they don't have those named guys. I think that could change so quickly, though. I think they could absolutely change for them. They maybe don't have a ton of guys on Hall of Fame paces, and that's completely fine. They don't need that. But they could absolutely have a few guys that just become, by the second or third primetime game, you know exactly who it is. I mentioned it with Hard Knocks, too. Christian Benford probably is going to be one guy that is brought up a lot because he's been dominating at practice. Him and Trey White have been awesome. You know, yeah, you will have the third-string guy, and you know, we're seeing if he makes the team. Joe Andreessen will, of course, be a big part of the documentary, I think, just because of you know, he's a local guy. He's in a backup linebacker battle with Baylen Specter. We'll see how that goes.
But for me, it's just, I'm very, very excited to see what this defense looks like. They're going to get an early test right away with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. But they've put so much into that unit. And that's why they didn't go to the Super Bowl last year. You know, ultimately was that defense. Warren Sharp's tweet, detailing, how radically different the defense is from the playoffs to the regular season. The fact that Kansas City versus everybody else is 25 points per game, but against Buffalo, they're 35 points per game. They needed to add a ton there, and they did. Now they've got a boatload of depth at cornerback to where, me and Matt are talking about Max Harrison, and there isn't this, oh my gosh, fear that he's going to miss time. This is not good. No. They've got Trey White at cornerback, too. They've got Christian Benford. They add, 6 new faces to the defensive line. They've effectively completely remade that unit outside of a few guys. And they've already got some guys like a Greg Rousseau, like an Ed Oliver, who you know what they have. If Rousseau just hits his numbers again next year but gets a little bit more help from everybody else, you feel much better about him. They also do need to stay healthy. They've added depth to deal with that, the fact that you're not going to get a Kyer Elam and a Rasul Douglas tandem, 3 drives into the AFC Championship is probably pretty big. You're not going to have to likely call A.J. Klein off the couch to come play in the AFC Divisional game. That likely won't happen. They've set up enough depth to deal with that. But now we've got to see it come to fruition. They probably will have pretty good takeaway numbers, right? That's been something that's been talked about a lot this offseason, at least the last few weeks, that this team actually does seem to get a lot of takeaways every year. It doesn't seem to revert to the median the next year. That seems to be what they do. It seems to be what Sean McDermott defenses do, even going back to his days in Carolina. I look at this pass rush and what it can be, and I do get excited. I need to see it for sure. And that's where a guy like Parsons is. He's the sure thing. In 4 seasons, he's never not had double-digit sacks. He played 13 games last year. He had 12 sacks. I mean, it's exactly what you're looking for. And they had that not that long ago in Von Miller, his first year when they signed him here. He played 9 games. He had 8 sacks. I mean, it's exactly what you paid for. He won them the Chiefs game in the regular season that year, or he was a big part of it. Now you've got to see someone else take that step forward. I've mentioned some of the last Super Bowl winning teams, the Eagles and the Chiefs, have both gotten key contributions from their rookies and second-year players. All of them have been on defense. That's where they're getting the key contributions. Trent McDuffie for the Chiefs and their two-peat. He was big in his rookie year, big in his second year. Then last year, you go to the Eagles, they're getting key contributions from Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. Big parts of their defense. But let's go now to the podium as Bills head coach Sean McDermott is speaking before practice.
It was high ankle. He'll be week to week. Cole Bishop, Curtis Samuel, Dorian Williams, Caden Prather, Shaq Thompson, hamstring, Taylor Rapp, knee, Tyler Bass still dealing with the pelvis area, TB, Spencer Brown. Those two will be limited. They'll be individual only. Josh Palmer dealing with a groin, and then Reggie Gilliam the same. Great to be back. It was a great night in Buffalo. Great to see our fans down there and be back in the environment of our stadium. I thought we got a lot out of it, learned a lot about where we're at and the work that we need to get done this week. So important week for us as we move forward into the first preseason game.
How concerning, Sean, is the ball? I mean, all of them, but Khalil seems a bit more serious than the high end.
You're right. He's dealt with one before. He's extremely tough, big part of our offense. So it's going to take some time. High ankles normally do. It's an opportunity for, again, somebody else to show us what they've got, and we'll see how that goes.
What's your level of concern when it comes to, I mean, you were kind of banged, you had guys on PUP and all these lists to start camp, and the injury list as well.
Yeah, I mean, you try, and it's not good when you start with 4 guys not practicing. I think that's... You don't want that going into camp. Usually one, maybe none. And I say usually one, usually none, occasionally one. So what we've tried to do is pull back on some things and in the hopes of getting some numbers back. That hasn't helped, so we're moving forward. It's time for us to go, and we got to get some work done and move this team forward. So, so the reps that we had cut last week, we're still only working with 2 groups. Last week we were down to a group and a half. It's not conducive, so we gotta do what we need to do to move our team forward and get them ready to perform.
Good.
Is that it?
What have you seen out of some receivers that have been taking on stuff like Tyrell Shavers, Christian Wilkerson? I know Shavers got back by
one. What have I seen from those two specifically?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, those two, I think, have done a really good job. You know, Shaves has been with us, so we certainly know him a little bit more. I've had a broader sample with him. You know, Wilkerson's, I think, done a nice job. He's played offense and played special teams as well and has a history of doing that and doing it well. So been pleased with both of those guys.
I know it's early. You have only had a couple of pads practices, but has Jackson Hawes at least given you the indication that he is the badass that you saw as a blocker in college?
Yeah, he's done a real good job. He really has. You know, in the absence of both Dawson and at times Dalton, you know, he hasn't blinked in terms of it being too big for him. He's gone out and not only blocked well, but he's performed well overall. So he's off to a good start.
Sean, how have you seen a guy like Reggie Gilliam
Well, I mean, let's not forget, I think Reggie was, you know, one of those bubble players in his early years with us, and he's carved out a role, and he's carved out a role and a leadership role at that with our special teams units as well. So he's a valuable piece for us, and it's kind of like the hardest thing, I think, for Reggie or anyone in his position and offensively in his role there is, we use him sometimes, we don't use him other times, and that's not a knock on Reggie. It's just how the game plan, you know, ebbs and flows week to week. And but Reggie's ready, and that's an important trait to have when you know, when you're called on. He's been ready.
This is the first opportunity we've had to talk to you since Max Harrison. What is the fear as to start of the season? And is there a loose timeline that when he might be back going? He's on crutches.
Yeah, it's going to take some time. He's week to week. This is probably going to take, I couldn't even tell you, you know, it's similar to probably to what Cole went through last year. Not the same injury, but maybe the similar window of time. And, you know, here's a young player that is not only missing just the moving around, but also the mental part of the experience you get with through the reps. And so there's no way to avoid it. He's going to be behind when he comes back.
Hey, Sean, has the first set of padded practices met the physicality that you wanted to see?
Yes and no. I would say in some ways yes, in other ways no. I do think that's another element that we have to continue to establish while we're here, for sure. And then it's got to continue when we get back down to Buffalo. We'll get a chance, you know, obviously with the first preseason game this week, to get another just barometer as to where we're at as a team and where that is.
Hey, Sean, one of those under the radar guys that we saw a little bit last year was Jalen Virgil, and with all these injuries, he's obviously gotten some chances, and he was active for a couple games last year. What have you seen from him, liked from him? Why is he still out there, you know, kind of showing up?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was impressed with the way he handled his role last year, especially for not really being with us, you know, the whole season. And he embraced it, took a lot of pride in it, took ownership of it. So now it's, hey, full playbook, full, you know, role in terms of the dual role of offensively and special teams. You know, when you're not in the top one or two, then you're, you know, called on to play special teams as well. So balancing that is always interesting to see how that unfolds and how a player can handle that. So, you know, I like Jalen. I really do. He loves football. He brings a lot of energy to our football team.
We've seen Keon make a lot of plays over the first week. From your perspective, you see so much more in the meeting rooms and everything else. What stood out to you about his camp so far?
Yeah, growth. Growth for sure. You know, the day, I think it was the fringe, maybe we're working the fringe 35 and in or what have you, and he really showed up. And since then, he's been performing, I think, rather consistently every day. Had a few drops the other night that I know he wants back. And those are some of the things that You know, he knows he's got to get him out of his game, and there's going to be drops. There are for everyone, right? Nobody's perfect, but what I've been mostly impressed with is his consistency on the contested balls. And then he went in there in the red zone the other day. We're working the low red zone, and he laid a heck of a block on somebody in there, and I thought that was very impressive as well.
Hey, Sean, without having Cedric Van Brandt Granger throughout the entirety of camp so far, and then Anderson suffering the injury, where do things sit with backup center right now?
A little bit in flux. Kendrick's been in there. Jacob's been in there. So, and they've done a good job. They really have. So it's, you know, a little bit of a fluid situation right now with that position, you know, beyond Connor for sure.
Are you anticipating Cedric getting back anytime soon here?
Right now, potentially Tampa, maybe not, maybe after Tampa. So it's we still got a window of time to get through there.
Sean, it sure looks like Matt Milano is really kind of going upwards. What have you seen from him this far?
Yeah, I mean, we rested him the other day, just trying to be smart with him. And he looks like he is, to your point, Josh, in a really good spot. He's playing fast. He looks comfortable out there. I think the biggest thing for him, and I don't want to speak for him, but it is important that he gets next to TB as much as possible, right? And that's some of the things that is, someone was asking about the injuries that you lose when you're not, you know, working alongside of someone, getting reps, talking about a play after the play unfolds and saying, hey, how did you see that? Oh, yeah, this is what I was thinking. Oh, I thought you were thinking that, you know, too. So it's that's valuable for us and for Matt in this case.
Josh didn't take any 11 out of 11 Friday night. Was that just to lay off him a little bit, give Mike and Mitch some work?
Yeah, I mean, we've got four quarterbacks in camp, a little bit unique in that regard, and just trying to take a look at these quarterbacks, you know, Mitch, Mike, and Shane, and give them the respect that they so have earned, and you know, what they look like, how they perform, how they lead our football team under those conditions, and you know, we'll see how it goes into the preseason as well.
What did you think about Mike? I know we've seen Mitch before, but specifically Mike, where he's come along after signing, you know, middle last year, I guess.
Yeah, you know, he's been a great addition. Been great to get to know him and his family a little bit as well. True class all the way. And you know, when you're playing or performing or coaching against the guy, you don't always feel that way about him, about the opponent. But since meeting him, I've just been so impressed with him and how he's handled himself, how he's handled this situation last year in particular. And he has ability, and you know, it'll be great to see him play even more this preseason.
Do you anticipate Josh taking any snaps in the game on
Saturday? Yeah, we'll see. I'm still working through that. We'll see where that goes.
With Boyd, Nogan, Joby, we asked you about the practice plan, but the preseason games. How do you plan on, you know, how much usage and balancing that with some of the younger guys you want to get reps?
Yeah, no, it's definitely on our radar. It's a conversation that's already been had to a certain extent. We're not ready to change anything right now as we move forward because of the timeline. We will make some adjustments, just not ready to do that quite yet.
Sean, today is Martini's 100th birthday.
Yeah.
Any thoughts for Tim today and your relationship with him?
Oh, man, just, he means the world to me. He means the world to a lot of people. What he's done, what he's accomplished in Buffalo, he's a true man, and I have a ton of respect for him and admiration for him as a coach, certainly, but also him as a person. All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That was Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott. They're meeting with the media before practice starts today. The big news out of that, Khalil Shakir week to week with a high ankle sprain. McDermott also confirmed that Max Harrison is going to be termed week to week. He is dealing with an LCL sprain. Of course, the big news from last week is ACL is intact. It is not a season ender for him, but he is week to week. That is going to do it for us today. Practice coming up at 11:15. I do want to remind you, though, that our coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. This is your Upstate Honda dealer today. And then, following practice, Sal Camacho takes you behind the scenes during Bills training camp with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on WGR's Facebook page, brought to you by Upstate Honda Dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Thank you for joining me, everyone. Zach Jones been with you here for a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. You've been listening to WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.